Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Redefining Retail, 10 Guiding Principles for a Post-Digital World by Philip Kotler and Giuseppe Stigliano, narrated by Steve Menash. Introduction. Change is the only constant. When we thought we had all the answers, all of a sudden, all the questions changed. Mario Benedetti, Uruguayan journalist, novelist, and poet, 1920 through 2009. It is not news that change is inevitable. Indeed, we know from the 6th century BC Greek philosopher Heraclitus that the only constant in life is change. However, the speed, depth, and breadth of the transformation triggered by digital technology, accelerated by the pandemic, and exacerbated by the volatility of the macroeconomic context, qualifies as an undeniable paradigm shift. The business community has long used the acronym VUCA, volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous, to describe the state of flux that has replaced the sense of certainty, stability, and familiarity that people had previously been used to. However, another acronym more aptly captures the times we live in today: BANI, brittle, anxious, nonlinear, and incomprehensible, coined in 2016 by Jaime Cascio, an American anthropologist, futurist, and author. The term BANI emphasizes even more the folly of relying on the concept of stability. In the words of Cascio, it is a framework to articulate the increasingly commonplace situations in which simple volatility or complexity are insufficient lenses through which to understand what's taking place. Situations in which conditions aren't simply unstable, they're chaotic. In which outcomes aren't simply hard to foresee, they're completely unpredictable. Or, to use the particular language of these frameworks, situations where what happens isn't simply ambiguous, it's incomprehensible. De facto, the future is no longer a marginal optimization of the past. Instead, it's a constantly changing scenario evolving at an unprecedented speed. Case in point, in 2022, the editors of the Collins English Dictionary chose as their word of the year permacrisis, defined as an extended period of instability and insecurity. This scenario poses a critical threat to private and public organizations and undermines their ability to plan their own future. Macroeconomic assumptions and geopolitical certainties that have held for decades have all been dramatically shaken. We can no longer maintain that borders should be inviolable. Rough material will be available at reasonable cost. Manufacturing can be delocalized in most convenient parts of the world. Supply chains will be stable. Energy supply is granted. Inflation will be contained, and global GDP will be sustained by emerging economies. In The Age of Discontinuity, Guidelines to Our Changing Society, Peter F. Drucker, unanimously celebrated as the father of management, was among the first authors to call attention to the impossibility of predicting the future in a context where the forward projection of current trends risks taking us nowhere, or even worse, to the wrong place. In such an unpredictable scenario, how can managers share with shareholders an accurate forecast, deliver predictable results, and meet customers' needs better than the competition? The short answer is they can't. Or at least they can't if they use the same playbook they've always relied on. The problem is that no one currently at the helm of an organization or leading a team has been trained for instability. Actually, the opposite is true. Managers are trained to achieve economies of scale, scope, and learning in a relatively stable context that allows maximal profit margin and return on investment. Most training courses don't teach how to deal with extreme volatility. The only solution is to do what the new normal requires. Develop a flexible approach, learn by doing, and follow new guiding principles that are natively designed for this world and thus are inherently adaptive. Paraphrasing Drucker, the only way to decode this complexity is to understand the profound nature of its underlying discontinuities. Retail, a different perspective. Starting from when Mesopotamian tribes invented the practice of bartering in 6000 BC, the logic at the basis of commerce has been a value exchange between two counterparts. The buyer can be either the end user of the product or an intermediary that will resell to a third party. We typically refer to these two scenarios as B to C, business to customer, and B to B, business to business. And retailing is unequivocally associated to the former. In fact, the term retail refers to the sale of goods, services, or experiences from individuals or businesses to end users. Retailers are in the business of acquiring goods from wholesalers, manufacturers, or other retailers, and then selling them to final consumers for a profit. As a consequence, B2C and B2B companies have historically adopted very different operating models and organizational structures. B2B players didn't directly interact with consumers and didn't need to have stores. So, rather than having to maintain large sales and marketing budgets, they were able to focus on sourcing, production, and logistics. B2C players, on the other hand, needed to excel in crafting customer experience, since the ability to increase the perceived quality of what people buy determines success. So, they focused on branding, customer service, marketing communications, and promotions. Consumer companies like Coca-Cola, Estee Lauder, Procter & Gamble, or Unilever have traditionally operated as a sort of hybrid, functioning in both the B2B realm by utilizing distributors and retailers to reach end consumers, and embracing a strong B2C orientation through their marketing efforts. However, the digital transformation we experienced during the two consecutive waves that we refer to as Retail 3.0 and Retail 4.0, more on both soon, challenged this dichotomy and role of all players involved in the process. For 8,000 years, with the exception of mail order, to be a retailer, one needed to physically interact with a customer, whether in a traditional market, in the street, or in a brick-and-mortar location. But when Amazon and eBay were founded in 1994 and 1995 respectively, the world of commerce changed. Presence and localization were unbundled for the first time. One doesn't need to go somewhere to effectively be there. From that moment onward, a retailer could also be a pure digital player or even a consumer who decides to trade with their peers. And in the following two decades, the exponential acceleration of technology amplified this opportunity for newcomers so much that it posed strategic challenges to the established companies. The ubiquity of commerce, combined with the unprecedented possibility for potentially the vast majority of the world's population accessing products and services regardless of location, redefined the competitive landscape. For the first time, it was possible for manufacturers and any B2B firms to explore the market on their own, bypassing all intermediaries and interacting directly with the final consumer.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?